Amen. All right, you guys, I'm wearing my husband's enormous hoodie to chapel today because none of my hoodies fit anymore. And I wanted to start out by doing a little context. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention on our Facebook page, the Campus Ministries Facebook page, and in the news, there's a lot of talk right now about a kid named Trayvon Martin and an incident that happened in Florida about a month ago where he was shot and killed, and it has sparked a conversation in our country about the issue of race. And people are wearing hoodies in lots of different places to try to keep that conversation going. Now, the hoodie means a lot of different things, right? Depending on who's wearing it, the symbol might be different. So I wanted to share with you guys why I'm wearing a hoodie and why I'm wearing it in chapel this morning before we start with what we had planned to do. I'm wearing a hoodie because, not because, I think that me wearing this hoodie makes me understand what it's like to be an African-American male in this country. I understand that I don't look suspicious to people in this culture as a very pregnant white woman when I put this hoodie up, right? I get that. And so it's not really about identifying with people for me. And it's not really even about this case of Trayvon Martin and whether I understand all the details or whether I agree with what happened or whether it was racially motivated or whether we even know that. There are lots of questions that are still coming to light about what happened in Florida that day, and I don't know the answers to those questions. But here's why I'm wearing this, because I know that for me, the Trayvon Martin story helped me realize something that is in me. And that is this, that I do get suspicious when I see a young black male coming around me. And that is a sin of racism in my life. Whether I've been taught it by my culture or wherever I got it, it's in me. And I'm wearing a hoodie today as a confession of that, that that is sin, that that is not reconciling us as the body of Christ, and that it's in me. And I'm wearing it in chapel. Because I need you guys. I need you to know that about me, and I need you as my community of faith to help me live into a better future than that. Because it's not okay that we live in a culture where I can wear a hoodie and not look suspicious, but where some people on this campus can't do the same thing, but are suspected simply because of the way that they look. That's what wearing a hoodie means for me today. And wearing it in this place as part of our worship is one way of me saying, I think that God cares about this issue of race. And I think God wants us to engage in this conversation together, even if we do it wrong, even if we say the wrong thing or we don't understand everything. I think we need to be talking about it as Christians and as part of what we do when we worship the God who wants to reconcile us one to another. And I'm wearing it partly because we're doing this on campus this week. There are four opportunities I can think of this week to keep talking about this. And I wanted to highlight those quickly. The first is tomorrow. There is a Cesar Chavez lecture at 4 o'clock. You all should go to that. At 7 o'clock, there's an opportunity to talk about the issue of conflict minerals and how Hope College can be a conflict-free campus when we buy our cell phones and our laptops and that kind of thing. That's at 7 o'clock in Winans. You guys should go to that. Friday, we have a special guest speaker coming in, Curtis DeYoung, who talks about reconciliation all over the country. You guys should come to chapel on Friday to continue this conversation. And lastly, it's another week in Hope College's life where we're talking about stand up and ways that we can stand up against stereotypes as a community at Hope. And I think that these hoodies have something to do with standing up. So I want to invite you to be part of the stand up conversation and take your questions and your concerns and your agreements and your disagreements as we engage with that question this week at Hope. Amen? That's not why we're here today. We're not here to talk about hoodies. We're here to talk about spring break. And I have three friends who are here with me who had some pretty significant experiences over spring break, and we wanted to share some of their learnings with you. So Tom went to the Larsh community in Mobile, Alabama, where they were part of a community of Christians, adults with developmental disabilities and those who don't have developmental disabilities living together. Justin went to Washington, D.C., and his group learned about the issue of incarceration in this country and what it has to do with race. And then Taylor went to Newark, New Jersey. And in Newark, that group met with a pastor who's doing a lot of community development work and who helped them to see what does the church have to do with life in this city. And I think they learned some stuff that's important for us to hear. So let's start by talking a little bit about, these are called immersion trips. So because we started with this model of being immersed in a culture rather than going to help or to serve, what did that teach you guys?
Yeah, well, I think for our trip, it was really helpful to go with a posture of humility, of learning, because we joined a community that has been doing this for a long time, and we don't know very much as a bunch of Hope College students that just started thinking about this, and so it was great to join that community. And I think one of the biggest things that I learned has to deal with this idea of the body of Christ, and before this trip, I never really connected that to the issue of adults with developmental disabilities. And what I learned is that that has everything to do with everybody, that every single person was created with the image of God, no matter what their intellectual ability is. And no matter what that ability is, they have something to offer the church and to offer a community. And so that means holding people to expectations. And every single person can contribute to the body of Christ like that. That was significant, I think.
For me, I'm the type of person that involves myself in a lot of different organizations and clubs and really is fired up about social injustice. But coming to Washington, D.C. and seeing how big of a problem mass incarceration was, how big of a problem this racial divide was, it was really eye-opening to me that I can't do it all and that God has really called me to focus on the things and the relationships that are genuine. The things that God actually calls me to do instead of just what I'm fired up about that particular moment. So,
before this trip, I used to think that serving on a mission trip meant that you just serve and serve and serve and you don't ever have to receive anything because that's selfish. But now I know that receiving is just as big a part of being together, living together as Receiving and serving are both equally important. And when we go in with this mentality that we're just going to serve other people, it kind of creates this superiority complex. Like, we're the ones that are capable of serving, and we don't need to receive anything. But part of the humility of the Christian faith means that we need to recognize that we absolutely need kindness and compassion and wisdom from other people.
So you guys met a lot of people, and I'm sure you had some fun while you were there. What does this all have to do, the lessons that you learned with Hope College and with Holland, Michigan? Why should we care about what your spring break was like?
The pastor that we worked with over the week, Randy, talked about this thing called competitive comparative personal piety. And that's basically where Christians think that they're okay with God if they're doing just a little bit better than the next person. So in a context where you're working with homeless people, it can be like, I've been strong enough to pull myself up by my bootstraps, and so I'm a little bit better than this person. But on Hope's campus, what it has looked like for me is that if I'm not doing as much as other Christians, I feel guilty. But if I'm doing more, I feel superior. And part of the cross means that those things don't matter in God's sight. They're never going to make us right with God. It's only Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection that makes a difference. So when we realize that, we learn that God is God and we are not, and we can live with that and be real with each other and give and receive with each other.
I think a common misconception going on trips is that you go, you see for a week, you see so many social injustices, and you think, wow, this place is really messed up. And then we come back to Holland and we're so comfortable. You know, we've experienced that God high, but then we come back and we're students or we're athletes or we're involved in all these clubs and all these things consume us, and we forget about our own communities and how there's so many social injustices here in Holland. You go a few blocks away and you're going to see so much poverty that many students may never witness, but just to have the awareness and knowing that our community is very much as broken as Washington, D.C. It may not be to the same degree or the same particular social injustice, but there's plenty of problems here in Holland, Michigan. And not to forget about that, not just experience that God high for 1 week and think you have to go someplace else to experience injustice.
Well, I think it's worth it to point out first that there are some great organizations in our community and in our area that have to deal with people with special needs. There's Ready for Life, which happens on our campus. There's the Friendship House over at the seminary across the street there. And there's also a special needs ministry that takes place on Thursday nights at Third Reformed Church, and many others that I could go on about. But even in light of those, it's worth mentioning that one of the biggest places where there is still not a lack of inclusion and connectedness for adults with developmental disabilities into the community is the church. The church, the body of Christ, where we say that we value every single member as part of the body, that still happens in our churches here, even in a community where there's a church on every corner. And so I think that's a significant thing for us in Holland to say that this is still happening in our churches and in our places here. And one little thing to add to that, in talking with the friends that live at the Friendship House, the six adults with the disabilities, they would love to know about events that are happening on campus and to be involved in things here. And they don't often get to hear about things that are happening. And so maybe, I mean, that's a simple step for us to say, you know, yeah, as Hope students, we can be inclusive, be that in community that invites them to, maybe it's a Waffle House, or if it's something formal with campus ministries, or just a bunch of people hanging out. I think that's a great way that we could start.
Tom, you're saying one of the places where we tend to see division the most can be in a community like this, a worshiping community in the body of Christ. And, you know, we talked about reconciliation, and I named off four different things that are happening on campus this week to talk about the issue of reconciliation. What did you guys learn about reconciliation on your trips that you think would be helpful to that conversation?
I think it's important to know that reconciliation is not easy, and it requires patience. I think reconciliation forces us to deny like an easy response or thinking what we think we can do, you know, what I think is right, well, I'll just do that. What we learned from L'Arche, the community we were with, the core members, the adults with the disabilities, in order for them to grow and to be fully part of the community, the team members, those who worked there, they had to be patient and to let them lead. We heard a story about a core member who, the team member would watch this core member take 2 hours to get dressed every single morning and 2 hours to get undressed before they went to bed, knowing full well he could have helped this core member in 10 minutes and it would have been done, and then it would have been so much faster and more efficient. But it was important for that core member to do that by themselves, to grow and to be part of the community and to have expectations as a part of life. And so, you know, the lesson from that is that reconciliation, you know, leading in terms of reconciliation more often than not requires being led and being told, you know, instead of having our idea of what we do, you know, observing and being patient and learning what is required.
I think that in our society, you know, we always think about the quick fixes, the things that are so fast in order to fix things. And also, we talk a lot about how we open up the church for impoverished people, or we open up the church for the oppressed. But how often are we going out to their communities? How often are we reaching out our hands and extending our hands as opposed to just opening our hands? And that's a very big difference. And the thing that I learned in D.C. was that we worked with a cluster of churches, with the big church being named Church of the Savior. And they went out to these communities, and they were specialized in the things that they believed in. And every single day, they did something to help stop the oppressed, to help stop social injustice. And it was the little things, and it was uncomfortable, and they definitely got out of their comfort zones. But as I learned that, I just thought, this is what a church needs to have. This is what the body of Christ needs to be, is someone that goes out into these communities, breaks down the hierarchies, breaks down the barriers, and helps those who have been oppressed.
In Newark, I learned that, like these guys have been saying, that the Ministry of Reconciliation is so much more complex and thorough than I ever imagined. Because we can, if we practice, we can make ourselves nicer people. But reconciliation is more than that. Reconciliation means that the Holy Spirit dwelling in us radically changes us from the inside out to look up to those people that we once pitied or even hated. And it's only through the power of the cross that we can do that, because Jesus himself became an object of pity and scorn and then was raised in glory. So if we live into that, we can finally truly consider others better than ourselves and see others as true bearers of God's image.
Well, I want to pray for us as we leave by praying through a scripture that reminds me of. But I think as a last word, should people think about doing an immersion trip in 2013?
Absolutely.
Yeah? Is it sort of fun? It's kind of...
Do it.
It's good. All right. Thanks. A little commercial there for you. Hey, let's pray. God, from now on, we want to regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. God, we desire to be in Christ, and we know if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. And all this is from you, who reconciled us to yourself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. It is in the strong name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Go in peace.